like to invite you to travel in your mind's eye with me to a few special places. The first place is not too far from here, just about 3-4 hours drive maybe. It's on the top of a small hill that overlooks a little worn down, dilapidated farm on the outskirts of Elkins, West Virginia. And on the top of that hill sits a small family graveyard, and as part of that family graveyard is where we laid my mother's remains to rest. This hill overlooks the little farm where she grew up. It was her favorite place in all of the earth. If I ever visited it prior to the day that we laid her to rest, I don't remember. But I do know from growing up that it was a very, very special place to her. The day we laid her to rest, we had a small memorial service. It was just a few months after she had passed. Hard to believe it's been a little over 4 years ago now when that took place. The day we laid her to rest, we had a small service at the Little Country Methodist Church, or Lena Methodist Church, United Methodist Church. That's just down the road from where my aunt, her sister, still lives. It's a small service with family and friends from the area, and then following the service, just the family, made our way to this small family graveyard. We had a small service there alongside her grave and laid her remains to rest. And then, as a family, we made our way across the country road that was there, dividing the hillside from the farm, over to the farm itself. And we wandered around. It, at least at the time, had been abandoned by whoever owned it. It had been many decades before that my grandfather, my mother's father, had sold the farm. She was, I think, a teenager when that happened. So it hadn't been in the family for a long time, but it had been in her heart for a long time. And we all agreed that she was beaming down that day to see her children and her grandchildren frolicking on this place that she loved so dearly. At one point, we had to take the kids' shoes off for fear that they'd get caked in mud because it was early spring and there had been some rain. We peered in the somewhat boarded up windows of the house. And we reminisced with one another, and we wondered a bit about what it would have been like for my mother to grow up in that place, what my mother was like when she was a little girl, and my aunt Bonnie, for that matter, as well. It was a lovely day, considering the circumstances. We gathered together afterwards briefly as a family and then went our way. As I said, that was a little over 4 years ago, and I have not been back to that place since. I think about it somewhat regularly. I've even considered a few times in the past whether it would be worth taking a day to go to my mother's graveside and sit and be with her. But the fact of the matter is, for as long as I can remember, and I have lost other loved ones in my life, I've never felt compelled to go to a cemetery outside of the service of committal itself, whether that was for my own family or as a pastor. It's not a place I would frequent, not because I don't like it, not because I am fearful of it. It just has never occurred to me to be a place where I felt like I could really be with the people who have lost. I know everyone approaches death and loss in different ways, and in particular what it is upon the occasion of someone's death that we do, the different rituals that we have. And so I'm not in any way casting dispersions on anyone who feels compelled to go to a graveside, but I never have. I never thought of that family graveyard, as special as it would have been to my mother, to be a place where I would meet my mother any more than I'd meet her here, or be with her in my own home or wherever I might be. So I have not felt compelled to go back to that place. I have a feeling I'll be there at some point in the future, that we might be passing through or visiting my aunt or whatever the case may be. And of course, if we're close, would swing by and spend some time, perhaps more time on the farm than I would up on the top of the hillside where the family graveyard is. But for me, I don't feel compelled to be there. I don't feel like my mother is there. I feel like she's in a much better place even than that beautiful place that she loved. I want to move from there to about 6,000 miles east of there, to the holy city of Jerusalem. And in the holy city of Jerusalem sits the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And in the heart of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is a shrine. And that shrine surrounds the place that Christians believe was the tomb where Jesus was laid to rest after his crucifixion. Interestingly enough, just this last year, due to a restoration project that was happening at that church, a large marble slab was moved for the first time in over 500 years to reveal the place where the church believes that Jesus' body was actually laid to rest even within that tomb. It's fascinating. I have a feeling that if I would end up in the Holy Land at some point in Jerusalem, that I will probably, and I hope I do, will end up in that church, maybe as a part of that shrine, visiting that place. But I can't help but think that it strikes me a little strange that people travel thousands upon thousands of miles, thousands of people every year take pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and one of the places in particular they need or want to visit is this shrine, this Church of the Holy Sepulchre, to pay homage to the place where Jesus' body was laid after his crucifixion. I understand the historicity of it. I understand, perhaps even to a degree, the sacredness of it. But as a Christian in the Easter season, it strikes me as somewhat funny, and maybe it does for you too, for those of us who believe in the resurrection of Christ to focus so much of our attention at times in that place, to the place where he isn't. To the place where he only stayed for a few days. The whole basis of our faith of Christians is that Jesus Christ arose from the grave, that he is no longer in that place. His body is not there and hasn't been there for 2,000 years, and for that matter was only there for a couple of days. On the third day he arose again. Yet we have enshrined that place, and many people visit it. Again, I'm not meaning to cast aspersions on anyone. It just, to me, seems kind of like it's not the place I would go to see my mom, her grave. Maybe even more so, I don't feel compelled necessarily before I die to go to the place where Jesus was laid to rest, because Jesus didn't stay there. He was only there for a couple of days. It was a passing along the way. Just a few miles down the road from there is a road that leads from Jerusalem to, before the story was told, a very little known town of Emmaus. We had the story read for us this morning that we, many of us, have come to know very well, especially in the season following Easter Sunday, where two disciples are walking down the road trying to make sense of what has happened in the last few days. They're on their way home or to visit someone that they know. And along the way, a stranger begins to walk beside them and ask them questions about what's been going on, and they explain to this person, who must have been living under a rock, pun intended, that didn't know what was going on in the last few days, right? How did you not hear of what happened to Jesus of Nazareth and how the chief priests had him crucified, and now people are saying that he's no longer where they put him? And they tell him over and over again, and then Jesus, though they don't know it's him at the time, begins to explain to them how they should have seen this coming, right? The prophecies are there. How does this come as a surprise to you? And finally, they get to the home where they're going to stay, and he goes to go on, and they say, no, 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 you have to stay with us, a sign of hospitality in the day. And he sits at the table, and when he breaks the bread, that's when they finally, the scales fall from their eyes, and they see who he is, and they recognize him. And then he disappears. He's off again to go to the next thing, the road to Emmaus. Let's fly back again, another 6,000 or so miles west now, to what is perhaps for me one of the most sacred places in all the world, and many of you have heard me speak about it ad nauseum. It's called Pine Springs Camp. It's a summer camp where I grew up attending as a child, and even as a young man, worked there as a counselor and on staff in a number of different ways. It is a sacred place for me, one of those thin places, as the Celtic Christians say, where it seems like the veil between heaven and earth is a little bit thinner and God is a little closer in that place. At Pine Springs Camp, and I've talked about this before, but I'll remind you, there is a path that leads from the main part of camp to a place called Stuart Chapel, which was one of the first things that was built on camp many, many years ago, almost 60 years ago. Stuart Chapel is an outdoor chapel area. There's built into a hillside, some benches in the hillside, a place where there's worship, there's Bible study, gatherings of all sorts, and have been for decades now. It's a sacred place. That path that leads from main camp down to Stuart Chapel is called the Emmaus Path, and there is a sign that hangs over the path when you first enter it that says Emmaus. And one of the rules at Pine Springs Camp, as you're walking the Emmaus Path from main camp down to Stuart Chapel, is as soon as you pass under that sign, you are to remain silent. You can imagine how successful that is with a bunch of kids on any given day at summer camp. But as soon as you pass under, you're supposed to take all of the frivolity and craziness of main camp, tone it down to silence, and walk the path in silence. And the idea is so that we might not, as disciples in the modern day, fall into the trap that perhaps Cleopas and his companion fell into by talking so much to one another that they missed that the risen Christ was with them. So as you walk the path in silence, you're supposed to listen for and try to notice Jesus' presence with you as you make your way to Stewart Chapel. Emmaus Road is a special place for me, and a bigger special place, because I remember fondly those times of walking right under the sign and talking gibberish right until you get to it, and then all of a sudden being quiet and listening quietly, intently, for maybe Jesus' whisper to come through the trees and the wind or some far-off noise of an animal or some other group that's playing in the distance, listening for Jesus close. Those places and the juxtaposition of those places, my mother's grave and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and the road to Emmaus and the path to Stewart Chapel called the Path to Emmaus, they present for us a dichotomy, I think, of how it is that we might see this place, this particular sanctuary, this body of Christ, this congregation, this hour of worship on Sunday mornings. They present for us how we might see where it is that we're going when we come to this place for this holy hour of worship each week, or whenever it is that we come for Bible study or fellowship or for service. I think the question that's presented to us is, when we come to meet Jesus in this place, are we coming to meet Jesus at his grave? Are we coming to a tomb? Are we coming to a place where we hope to sit and maybe enter into nostalgia for a bit and pull on some memories, to remember what it is that Jesus said and Jesus did, to remind one another of who Jesus was? But then when we leave, go back to our business and to our life, maybe leaving something behind, some flowers or a keepsake as a memento. Are we coming to this place to visit Jesus at his tomb and at his grave? Or are we coming to this place to join Jesus on a path or a roadway? Because it seems to me Jesus has made that choice conclusively. He made that choice decisively 2,000 years ago, that the tomb is not a place where he wants us to meet him. Otherwise, he might have stayed there. The tomb is the place he left behind. It's the place that could not hold him, though with a large stone they tried. And he decided to hit the road. On the pathway, first meeting Mary in the garden, then meeting these men, Cleopas and the other disciple, on the road to Emmaus. Much later, meeting Paul on the road to Damascus. And over again, what we find is Jesus, he was only in that grave for a little while. And that's not where he wants us to find him. Jesus is on the path. Jesus is on the move. And if we really want to encounter Jesus, the risen Lord and Savior, we're not going to a grave. We're not going simply to remember and to enter into nostalgia. What Jesus has done is important, and we learn from it and we grow from it. But Jesus is still doing new things in our midst and in our world. As I said last week, we often want to go our way, but Jesus goes his way. And so I ask you today, when you come to this place, are you coming to visit Jesus in his grave? To remember the things that Jesus did? To know that that chapter is closed and we'll just move on? Or are you coming to this place to continue that journey of faith and to join Jesus on the path and on the road? So that maybe he might enter your home and he might break bread at your table. And he might then join you at the next stop along the way. Because, friends, Jesus is always on the move. So I ask you, is this a tomb or is it a path? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.